रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पते नमः. अयोध्याकांड चैप्टर नंबर 4 मदर कौशल्यास जॉय. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. द कॉन्शियंशियस मॉनर्क again took deep counsel with his ministers and friends and finally decided to crown the lotus-eyed Rama as the heir apparent the next day when the moon should ride in conjunction with Pushya. He returned to his apartments and said to Sumantra, "Go bring unto me once again Rama, my heart's delight." The aged minister was at the gates of Rama's palace in no time. The warden surprised the prince of his arrival, who was troubled with a doubt. "How now? Has anything come between my sire and his resolve?" Yet he called Sumantra to him and said, "Pray, let me know clearly what brings you here again." And to him spake Sumantra, "Rama, your father desires to see you again. I am but the humble mouthpiece of his majesty, and you know best how to act." The words of the minister but hastened Rama's steps towards his father's palace, which he entered with an expectant heart. The wardens ran to announce him to the king, who ordered the prince to be brought to him at once, that he might communicate to him excellent and pleasant tidings. Rama entered and saluted the monarch with deep respect, even at a distance. Dasharatha sprang to meet him with open arms, gave him a magnificent seat and said, "Rama, excuse my telling you that I am grown very old in years and experience. I have drained the cup of life to the full. Countless sacrifices have I performed and stinted not in food or coin, kine or gems, even as the Vedas lay it down. I have had the pleasure of giving away untold wealth to my kith and kin, friends and dependents. I have tasted of the sterner joys of a warrior's life in all the varieties. I am clear of my debts to the gods, to the rishis, to the pitris, to the brahmanas and to myself through countless sacrificial rites, religious studies, begetting of offspring, costly gifts and enjoyments of the pleasures of life respectively. I have now a worthy son unto me and unequaled in the three worlds. My last duty to myself and to my expectant subjects is but the pleasant one of handing over the charge of this kingdom to you. So pay good heed to what I say, and having heard, obey. Again, all the subjects pray to me that Rama should be lord over them. That is another reason why I should crown you king. Further, my sleep is troubled with ominous dreams of coming evil. Terrific meteors fall from the cloudless skies, accompanied by destructive thunderbolts. The sun, Mars, Rahu, and other bad planets do aspect my natal star, so say the wise in starry lore. It is evident that these are the forerunners of the death of kings or of parallel disasters. There again is an additional reason for my crowning you with all dispatch. Moreover, men's minds do change ever, and before mine comes under the seductive influence of my other queens, I wish to place the crown on your head. The moon stays today with the star Punarvasu and leaves it tomorrow for Pushya, which astrological experts declare to be the most auspicious for a king's coronation. Hence my desire to lose no time. I am resolved to carry out my plan tomorrow at any cost. It is meet that you and Sita spend this night in fast and devout prayer on a couch of sacred grass. It is in the order of things that numerous obstacles will start in the path of good resolves too. So take good care that your friends and well-wishers guard you against all harm and evil within and without. Bharata, your brother, is a paragon of goodly conduct. Your word is a law unto him. His iron will and chastened spirit keep his senses under perfect control. He is a soul of compassion, but it is a long time since he left this place for his uncle's country. None can call himself so righteous or good or firm of resolve, but persuasion's guileful tongue can lure him away. So it behooves us to accomplish our purpose ere Bharata comes back here. Having thus opened his heart to his son in the privacy of his apartments, he gave him permission to return to his palace. Rama lost not a moment in repairing to the mansion of his mother Kaushalya to acquaint her with the glad news. He found her in the hall of worship, dressed in white silk, pure, silent, and restrained of breath. The news of Rama's coronation the next day filled her with wild joy, and she was earnestly praying with introspective eyes to Mahavishnu, her favorite deity, that Rama should succeed his father on the throne. Sumitra, Lakshmana, and Sita had been sent for before and were with her. Rama saluted his mother with all humility and said, "It would give you pleasure to know that my father has intimated to me his pleasure to crown me tomorrow as the heir apparent and place me over the people. The priests and the chaplains heard him direct me and Sita here to spend this night in fast and prayer. I pray you to instruct us as to the vows we should keep towards my consecration tomorrow." The words fell sweetly on the long-expectant ears of Kaushalya. Tears of joy shook her voice as she replied, "Darling Rama, may your days upon earth continue ever. May confusion die away on your foes. Rule over us and rejoice the hearts of the kith and kin of myself and of my sister Sumitra here. It was a wondrous moment when you saw the light, for are you not the joy of your father's heart through your good gifts? Long did I pray and earnestly to Mahavishnu, and my prayers, my vows, my fasts and mortifications have borne ample fruit in that the bright crown of the Ikshvakus rests on your fair brows. Glad am I beyond expression." Rama turned to his brother at his side and said to him, who raised folded palms of reverence to his head, "Lakshmana, brother mine, this kingdom, its pomp and power are more for you, my very other self. You will have a very busy time of it, I ween, in ruling over the countless myriads of our subjects, Sumitra's happy son. I hope to see you gladden your mother's heart and taste the sweets of regal power, gold and gems, dress and jewels, pomp and dignity. Need I assure you that this empire and everything it can give, nay, my very life, is dear to me and welcome but for your sake?" Thereafter, Rama and Sita took reverent leave of the elders and received permission to retire to their abode. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.